Okay, we'll go to verse number 15. Sarvendriya guna bhasam. Sarvendriya vivarjitam. Asaktam sarva bhrityaiva. Nirgunam guna bhoktracha. So this is a typical example of contradictions. Contradictions. Where when you just translate, if you have a Sanskrit dictionary and you try to translate, you'll come out with that translation and it doesn't make any sense. You know, that's why people say, I don't need a guru. I can read, you know, myself or translate. Unless you have a teacher like Swami Chinmayananda explaining, just translating doesn't make sense. Shining through all the senses, yet without the senses, unattached, yet supporting all, devoid of qualities, yet their experience. It doesn't make sense. Sarva indriya guna bhasam. Sarva indriya, all senses, means sense organs and organs of action. Guna bhasam. Abhasam means shines, appears through all the sense organs. Sarva indriya vivarjitam. And at the same time, sarva indriya vivarjitam, yet without all. It is shining through all the sense organs and organs of action, but it is without sense organs, organs of action. It doesn't make any sense. He says, does the Rishi, was he, you know, did he have some, maybe some marijuana or something when he wrote this? Asaktam sarva bhrityaiva. He is detached, unattached, but yet supports everything. He said, how can you be detached and support everything? Like these pillars, they are supporting this building, but they are attached. They are not detached. Like my child goes to college, I support him, but I am still attached. You know, you've seen that sign, you know, my child and my money go to USC. So people always, so I am supporting my child, even though the child may be far away, but I am still attached. So how can that entity support the whole universe and still be detached? And nirgunam, and it is without any gunas, yet guna bhoktricha, but yet enjoys all the gunas. Why do they have this kind of language of contradiction? What is the purpose of that? You know, why don't they straight away say, this is how Brahman is, and end with it? Why do they do this? These verses have been put by the rishis, as Swami Chinmayananda says in his commentary. He says that the reality cannot be described in words, as we had said before. So when the rishi deliberately puts a contradiction, and you will see further after that, he will say he's inside and outside, he's far, far away and he's near, near and near. He says, you know, what do you mean he's far away and he's near? He has the senses and doesn't have the senses. So when they put these apparent contradictions in the teachings, what it does is it makes the student think. Otherwise you say, understood, I have understood. But what have you understood? You really have not understood much unless you sit down at the feet of the guru and then ask the questions and then learn with humility and with gratitude and with a service to the teacher. So that contradiction makes you think that what does the teacher mean by that? And so when you think in that contradiction, then you say, oh, okay, it now makes sense. So the contradictions are purposely put in there to make your mind think. And because they say the Sanskrit is the most complex language, at the same time, it's not only the most complex, it's the most beautiful language. As far as its wording and as far as the construction, it is said to be the mother of all languages. All languages emerge from it. So they say the Sanskrit is the only language which can take us close to the truth. That's why they say Sanskrit is a dev bhasha. It is spoken in the heavens. So through Sanskrit symbolism and poetry, they are able to convey this truth to us, these rishis. And that's why we revere them and we always remember them, that it is, and that's why all our gotras, our families, if you ask a Hindu, he'll say, I did not originate from a monkey. I originated from Kashyap, or I originated from, you know, whoever, whatever your Gotra is, so that we trace our origin to all these great rishis, that it is from their families that I have emerged. That's why the Gotra is important, because that shows that we have all emerged from the rishis. So let's do this verse. I'll try. It's a little difficult, but we'll try to explain it. It says, Sarvendriya Gunabhasam. So it is shining through all the senses. And that, you know, we have already covered in the past verse, but he kind of repeats it again. He says, it is shining through all. Through the eyes I am shining as light. In fact, interestingly, in our scriptures, they don't say the light enters the eyes. You know, in physics, when you read, they have this diagram where, you know, there is a bird or there is a tree, and then the tree is inverted. The top of the tree goes through the pupil into the retina, and then the bottom goes, so the image is inverted in the retina, if you remember your medical science. And then the brain then fixes it, and that's why you see the tree upright. But our scriptures say that the consciousness goes out through the eyes to illumine the object. And that's why the tree you can see as a tree, because your mind and consciousness is illumining that. It is going out to illumine that car. It is going out to illumine the sound, like there's a radio on. So your consciousness goes out through the ears to listen to the sound. It goes out through the tongue to taste, through the skin to touch. And that actually makes sense, because say you are sitting somewhere and you are deep in thought, and somebody passes by, you know, and he'll smile at you and he'll say hi, and you don't even see that. But afterward, he'll say, you know what, that was so rude of you. So what happened? He said, you know, I passed by in front of you, I smiled, and you didn't even recognize, I didn't see you, I'm sorry. You know, I was in some thought, maybe I was in some sorrow or some deep, thinking. And so even though the eyes are seeing, but the mind is not going out to. And that's why when you hear something that you have never, that you don't know, like good, 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 what is the meaning of that? Good, 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 I don't know the meaning. Why? Because the mind cannot make an image. But if you hear camel, then you can immediately make an image of camel, you can make image of elephant, if I tell you. But if I say good, 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 what is, you know, your mind doesn't make an image because it does not know. So that's why it says Sarvendriya Gunabhasam. So through all the sense organs, the body, mind and intellect, I go out. Through the body, I illumine the world of objects. Through mind, I illumine the world of emotions. And through the intellect, I illumine the world of thoughts. So this consciousness, I, that is the Lord. That is nothing else but me. You know, like we had talked last week about the higher bird and the lower bird, the higher bird being the ego, the lower bird being the self or the consciousness. So at this moment, I think myself to be this ego, which is the limited being, but in reality, my higher nature, my true nature is that. So I, the consciousness, go out through the eye. So again, God is not somebody like Krishna or somebody in Gokul or Mathura or in Kailash or in Bethlehem or Mecca or heaven, but is me, the consciousness, going out through the eye. So that we have to understand, that divinity is me. Does not mean that I am God. You know, please don't, like Swami Ishwarananda-ji also said, do not think I am God. You say, think he is me. He, that consciousness, is me. That is the understanding one has to have, that I am functioning because of that consciousness. So I am not separate. So I am not separate from that divinity. That is the principle of Advaita. So what we say is that you start with Dvaita, that God and I are separate. That is the first step. Then you evolve to that God is everything and I am a limited part of him. And that is good. You know, at least you have said I am part of that, which we had covered in detail on Thursday. But then the third step is that he and I are not separate. We are one. And that is the principle of Advaita. It does not mean that you become very arrogant, that I am divine. The idea is that there is no ego. And everything that is happening is he. So that my speech is him, my seeing is him. so that I disappears and he alone is. So that is Advaita, where there is no separation. So Sarva Indriya Gunabhasam, all sense organs function through me. Sarva Indriya Vivarchitam, but he is devoid of all senses. None of the senses are in him, but all senses function through him. Again, the best example is electricity. You know, these examples you can keep repeating, but with different. Now, electricity is there in this building. So, because of electricity, the light functions. Okay, the light comes on. Because of electricity, when it's cold, the heater will come on. Then the refrigerator, you know, will cool the food. Then if you put in a computer, the computer will start calculating, you know, analyzing, searching the web. So that's also electricity. So electricity will say that none of these are me. They are not in me. The electricity is not heat. The electricity is not cooling. The electricity is not the fan. Electricity is not thinking or analyzing in the computer. Electricity has none of these. Electricity doesn't have, they don't have a cold electricity for cold and a hot electricity for hot and a thinking electricity for the computer. No, there is one electricity, and in the presence of electricity, all these appliances work, whether it's a heater or a cooler or a computer or a calculator or whatever. So electricity says, all Sarvendriya Gunabhasam, Sarvendriya Vivarjitam, all these appliances function because of me, but I am not in any of them. They are not in me. Even in the 9th chapter, Sri Krishna says, Matsthani Sarva Bhutani Nachaham Teshva Vastitaha. All the beings are in me, but I am not in them. So what it means is that electricity itself is not cold or hot, and electricity is not affected. It does not mean that it loves the heater more or the air conditioner less or the computer. Electricity says they are all my expressions. It's in my presence that all these appliances work. But if the appliance is there or not, it doesn't make any difference to electricity. Electricity does not become unhappy when you disconnect the plug. You know, I can't heat the... No, electricity remains the same. So similarly, the Lord of the universe says that all the beings function in me, all senses work in me, but I don't have any senses. The senses are not in me, they do not affect me. It's like, now the senses are changing, right? Now the eyes are, they are, you know, seeing very well now. After a certain age, you know, you can't see, then you need glasses, then you need bifocals. And, you know, you are hearing good now. After some time, you can't hear. So the hearing will decline, you know, your ability to walk, your ability to talk, you know, all those things go down. But does anything happen to that consciousness? Even when my eyesight is going down, the consciousness is still bright. When my hearing goes down, when I can't walk, when I can't talk, as I get older, when my faculties are deteriorating, that the Lord within is remains perfect. It's the same. That's why they say he's always the same. So there are two things to get from it. One is that the Lord is the one that was, is, and always will be there. But the other point to learn from this particular line is that if you identify that I am this ego, this individuality, my name is Harsha or Diana or Pankaj, then I will one day die, you know, one day I will leave the earth. One day my body will get sick. One day it will get old. But if you say, I am the consciousness who is occupying this body, and that one has to keep reminding. I know I have said that before, and I've heard it so many times from all the acharyas. It still has not registered. I'm still where I was. So the repetition of this idea helps to reinforce that idea. Then this person can handle even death, whether their own death or even the death of a near and dear one. Because you understand that we are all that one consciousness. This body is just a dress I am wearing. And so the question is, where do you focus? If you say, I am the ego, then you will suffer when the ego suffers. But if you say, I am the consciousness, then you say, yeah, the nature of the body is it will one day be sick and unhealthy. One day it will be unhappy. One day, you know, I'll be insulted, but I am the same. So that's why this knowledge is very helpful, because in life you always have joys and sorrows, stresses and problems and difficulties. But when you realize that there is one consciousness and this whole universe is there, there are two things happen. One is you become fearless, because, you know, even the gun cannot shoot me. You know, that's why Sri Krishna says, you know, that this Atma, fire cannot burn it, you know, the knife cannot cut it, water cannot wet it, air cannot dry it. Why? Because the Atman is Ajar Amar, he says, and that's what you are, Arjuna, he tells Krishna, says, and not only you are that, but all these warriors that are standing in front of you, they are also that one Atman, that one consciousness. So even if in the course of this battle, if your duty requires to fight and remove them, because they are on the wrong side, they are on the evil side, you don't have to feel bad, because, you know, it was my duty. I was a warrior. I've been trained. I had to do it. So it's not that he's encouraging him to kill, but what he's telling him is that whatever your duty is, wherever you have been placed, whatever job, like a doctor, you know, when he has to amputate a limb or he has to cut open a person and, you know, there's a poisonous growth, he has to take it out, you know, and he says, that's my duty. I had to cut off his leg to save the individual. So that is what this knowledge teaches us. A, it makes you fearless about yourself. And B, for others, you develop compassion. You don't say that, oh, he's that consciousness and nothing happens. No, when something happens to a person and somebody dies in their family, you don't go and say, you know, he was the Atman and he never dies. You know, you don't tell them that unless they have heard Vedanta. You go there and, you know, compassionately you share their, you know, sorrow, and because you see that this person is suffering and that is me, because I am in all of them, because they are all that one consciousness. So that is the benefit of this knowledge. It, for me, it makes me fearless, and for others, it makes me more compassionate. You become compassionate towards animals, towards plants, towards birds, towards fish, towards all human beings. So that's why he says, Sarvendriya Gunabhasam, Sarva Indriya Vivarjitam, and I am devoid of all senses. None of them are in me. They are all functioning because of my presence. I do not get affected. I do not get involved. When the eyes are deteriorating, the God does not say, I am deteriorating, when the body is deteriorating. So that's what he says. Sarva Indriya Vivarjitam, Asaktam Sarva Bhritchaiva, detached but supporting all. You know, like we said, the pillar is supporting this building, but it's not detached. It is attached to this building. I am supporting the child, but I am not. So how does the Lord say that I am supporting everything, but I am not attached? That is kind of doesn't make sense to us. You cannot be two things. Either you are supporting or you are detached, right? You cannot, if you are attached, only then you can support. And then people have this idea, you know, God is like Atlas. You know, this Greek hero called Atlas, who on his back is carrying the whole earth. You know, then the Greeks used to believe that. So they say God is like this, you know, person on his back is carrying the earth. And now the population has increased to 7 billion. So poor God must be, his back must be hurting because he has to carry all these human beings. That's not what we mean by supporter and detached. Supporter means, Gurudev in his commentary very beautifully, he says, like the ocean supports all the waves, right? The waves emerged from the ocean, are sustained by the ocean, and are merged back into the ocean. So they come from the ocean, they are sustained by the ocean waters, then they merge back, just as this whole earth is created by Brahmaji, sustained by Vishnu, Bhagwan, and then taken away by Shiva. So the waves are supported by the ocean, are sustained by the ocean. He is the supporter, but he is detached in the sense that the ocean is not affected. If the waves are born, does the ocean become happy? Ah, So many waves are being born. Wonderful, wonderful. And then I am sustaining them. And then the ocean, then the waves go down. Ocean is sad. Oh, wave. No. Ocean is no. Waves are coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. And they have been happening for thousands of years. So in the ocean, all the waves are rising and sustained, destroyed in the ocean. But the ocean in the substratum is the same, because the ocean knows that this is just a temporary appearance. In the depth of the ocean, there is silence, there is peace. And on the surface, you see some disturbances. And because of the disturbances, the waves rise or sustain. But it is all the same ocean water. It's just a name given to it. Just a name given wave, but actually it is the ocean water. If the wave thinks I am the wave, then it will be unhappy. But when the wave says I am water, then okay, I'm taking the form of the wave and I'll be going down. So similarly, this in that consciousness, because of the disturbance of the vastness, because just as when there's a disturbance of the air, it creates the waves. So in that total consciousness, the total vastness, when they create a disturbance, this individual is created, this whole universe is created because of the disturbance of the vastness. So it is the vastness, when they tickle that consciousness or when they disturb that consciousness, they cause this whole universe to be created. And because of my vastness, I appeared on this earth, because I had unfulfilled vastness from my previous birth, and that's why I took birth again. I entered my mother's womb and then I was born, and then I grew up in India, and then somehow my vastness must have brought me to the United States. I must have had something to do with Bakersfield. And of all the places in the whole of US, how did I end up here? Don't know. So it is my vastness that brought me. I must have had some connection with some people in my previous life in Bakersfield. Kuch lena dena hoga, something to be given and take. And that's why we are all here. So they said, just as the ocean supports the waves, and by the disturbances of the air, the waves are created, but the ocean itself is unattached. Unattached, yet supporting all, the ocean is not affected by the rise and fall of the waves. So this consciousness is not affected by the rise and fall of the universe, by the birth and death of these individuals, because it is that same consciousness that is appearing as all of us. And appearing and then disappearing, appearing and disappearing. Our great-grandfathers came, they left. Grandfather, father, I, children, grandchildren. You know, it is all a continuum. But there is only one substratum supporting all, unattached yet supporting all. So that is the beauty of this creation, that there is a constant flow of birth and death, birth and death, birth and death. And the only way to get out of it, so that I punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi janani, jatre shainam, Shankaracharya ji says, again and again you will be born and you will enter your mother's womb, and then you will be come out and then go through toilet training and then again grow old and die, and again you'll go through that? No, you don't need to. Become one with that. Realize the truth. Realize that. And that's why this Gita is a beautiful text which takes us in that direction to understand the truth, to realize the truth. Then you get out of the circle of birth and death, and then you become a prophet. You become a Chinmayananda or Shankaracharya or Jesus. So that is the only way to get out of the cycle. If you say, I like the world, I want to be born again, okay, keep going. You know, yeah, that's your choice. So the choice is yours. Do you want to be born again, or do you want to live happily ever after, you know, in that infinite state of bliss? And in fact, those prophets who come, they are beings who have actually realized the truth and were living happily with that Lord. And Swami Tejomayananji says very beautifully, he'll come and say, hey, God will say, hey, you have been sitting here happily for 20,000 years doing nothing. Okay, I want you to go on earth now and spread my message. And so that's how these prophets come. That's why Jesus said, I am the Son of God, because he was there with God. And then he was sent here just for the purpose of spreading the truth. Or Swami Chinmayananda or Buddha or Shankaracharya, they were all divine beings who were sitting happily but were sent here for that specific job that the Lord needed. He said, I need you to do this work. That's why a lot of them from childhood, they're already very advanced, like Raman Maharishi. By age 6 or 7, he already used to go into deep samadhi, and he actually had seen his own death. Raman Maharishi, he was about 7 or 8 years old. He actually saw death around him. He saw a neighbor or somebody who had died. And he said, this man yesterday was fine, and today he's being carried. What is death? So they said, in death, you know, everything ends. Somebody told him, he says, okay, let me experience death. So he goes into this room and shuts the room. And he was 7 or 8 year old boy. And what he did was he first stopped his body movements completely. Even the breathing he stopped. You know, he could go and so he stopped breathing completely. Then he said, my mind is still thinking. My intellect is still thinking. So he stopped the movement of the intellect. So he stopped his breath. He stopped his mind. He stopped his intellect. Everything was completely silent. But there was something within him he could not shut down, and that was the self. He said, that I cannot quieten because that is permanent. So that samadhi he experienced. So he must have been, you know, a realized master who just came on earth to teach us the message. So that is what he says. Asaktam sarva vrit chaiva. I am the supporter of all, but I am detached from others. And then last is nirgunam guna bhoktracha. I am devoid of qualities, but I enjoy all the qualities. Again, what do you mean by I am devoid of qualities, but I enjoy all the qualities? See, in Gita, they talk about three qualities or three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. Sattva means purity. That's Rajas means activity, and tamas means ignorance, sloth, slumber. So like when I get up in the morning and I sit for meditation, or I'm doing puja, or I'm chanting the name of the Lord, and my mind is full with divine qualities, then I'm in sattva. Or like, you know, when we are talking about the Lord's name and listening to Gita, hopefully, you know, that is our sattvic state, because our mind is filled with those thoughts of divinity. But then after I have finished my meditation, I, you know, get ready and I go to work, and then I'm doing my job, whether in my factory or my office or wherever I am working or in my kitchen, then I'm in rajas, because then I'm doing, I'm producing, I'm active, I am working, I am dealing with things. So from sattva, I move to rajas, and then by the end of the day, I'm exhausted and I am sleepy. Or, you know, or like Swami Ishwaranandaji says, you know, I have become spiritual. You know, I have a few spirits. I become very spiritual. Then I go into tamas. That is pure tamas, where then I am ready to go, you know, ignorance. And that guy who is, you know, drunk or who is tired and sleepy, you know, don't bother me. I want to sleep. So we go through different stages. We go through sattva. We go through rajas. We go through tamas. So in all these situations, that consciousness is not that the Lord becomes sattvic in the morning and then rajasic in the afternoon and tamasic in the evening. He is unaffected. He does not become sattvic. It is my mind that becomes sattvic in the, you know, when I am with spiritual thoughts, rajasic when I am, you know, active or when I am angry, and then tamasic when I am lazy or ignorant or slothful or, you know, drugs and all that. So, the Lord is not sattvic, rajasic or tamasic, but the Lord experiences all. The consciousness in me experiences, okay, now the mind is sattvic. And the person is, you know, sitting for puja or meditation. Now this person is active. Now this person is sleeping. So, whether I am active, whether I am sleeping, or whether I am in deep meditation, in silence, that consciousness is the experiencer of all. Itself, the Lord does not have sattva, rajas and tamas, but all sattva, rajas and tamas are experienced by that consciousness. So whatever I am doing throughout the day is experienced. So these verses are given to us to to turn our mind in that direction and find out what is it that is experiencer, what is it that is the supporter, what is it that. So it's very, very powerful. We'll continue next week, similar ideas, because Krishna is again and again challenging us to think. And that's why I would encourage everybody, they should read this book, they should buy this from the office, go home and read it, because by reading, this knowledge will become pakka. Or you can even listen on the website. It's called firstpower.info. Firstpower.info, that's the word. It's one word, firstpower.info. In about 3 or 4 days, Tony will put it. So any of the old talks for last 3-4 years, you can listen. Or even the earlier chapters from 7th chapter onward, they are there. So if you wish, and even the evening meditation classes are there. So by repeated listening, because we, you know, have been going to Chinmaya Mission from the early 90s, more than 20 years. And again, when we go to the camps in PRC, they repeat it. And people say, bahut sun liya, and I don't need to listen. It's not like that. The more you listen, the more the knowledge becomes firm. Not only that, but every Swamiji who comes, every Acharya who comes, gives us the same truth with a different twist. And sometimes something appeals. Sometimes what Ishwaranandaji says appeals to us. And then sometimes Vimalji, and sometimes, you know, Guruji. So listening to these different Acharyas gives us the same truth with a different emphasis. And, you know, that's why the, again and again listening is very helpful. And wherever you hear the Lord Satsang is going on, go there. There's nothing better you can do with your time. Thank you very much. We have any comments on these words? Yes. Yeah, I think the subconscious is the vastness. Right. Yeah, because the mind and intellect, probably the subconscious, but generally it is the vastness, because they say the subconscious is the cause of your doing whatever. It's your subconscious mind that makes you become evil or good and all that. But yeah, I'm sure it's very complicated. You know, it's quite complex. But yeah, it's somewhere there. Or maybe you're part of your mind. I doubt, though, you can become fluent in French just by sleeping. Then people wouldn't be doing that. They wouldn't be going to school and all. I learned Spanish, but took me a year to, you know, constant hard work every day. So I don't think, I don't think that's possible. Right. Yeah. It's more than just listening and reading. You have to think and independently come to the same conclusion. That's what the Acharyas tell us, that just because Krishna says it or just because Chinmayananda says it, it's not true. I have to believe it. I have to know it. Not with disbelief, not with lack of faith, but that let me now make this knowledge my own knowledge. I have heard it, but now it should become my knowledge. So it can only happen by mananam, by thinking and then by applying. So please do that, because you need to do some homework, because coming on Sunday is very good. But then throughout the week, you should be reading Bhagavad Gita and other texts so that it will help. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Ma kashchid dukkha bhavave. Om shanti shanti shanti. Hari Om Shri Guru Namaha. Hari Om.